but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Park. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 113, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Verses 1 through 9, all of Psalm 113. Father, thank you, Lord, for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Thank you for being our King of kings and our Lord of lords. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of eternal life and health and strength. Thank you for the chance to know you and to be able to serve you and to know that you are sovereign over every area of our lives. You are Lord, and your will and your spirit and your hand extend to every part of life. Help us to always look to you for wisdom, for grace, for guidance, for help in time of need. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I want to remind you on an ongoing basis about our By Design Monthly Challenges that are ways for married couples and their families to engage with each other and grow together in their walk with the Lord. During the month of October, By Design is encouraging couples to participate in the Daddy-Daughter Date Night Challenge. To the dads who have a daughter, we want to encourage you to ask her out on a date this month. Show her what kind of husband she should desire when she gets older and teach her what type of men to avoid. The best example of a godly marriage our children should have is the marriage of their very own parents. It's important to live a genuine life of reverence and repentance before your daughter daily to affirm her that she's valued and respected by treating her to a date at various times throughout her life. To show that you participated in the Daddy-Daughter Date Night Challenge, snap a picture while you're on the date and post it on the By Design Facebook page with hashtag DaddyDaughterDateNight. Again, By Design's mission is to educate and encourage people to embrace God's design for marriage and family as the fundamental building block for all human civilization. We want to do that by providing solid biblical articles and podcasts, and also by having challenges that will allow us, as well as our listeners, to be doers and not just hearers of God's word. For more information on this challenge and upcoming challenges, go to afa.net/by-design. Again, that's afa.net/by-design. We are blessed to have in studio two very special guests, two young ladies that are here on staff here at AFA, Ann Cockrell and Kendra White. And they're going to share with us about an exciting new broadcast that will be airing here on American Family Radio. Welcome, Ann and Kendra, to the Hour of Intercession.
Hey.
Thanks for having us on.
Glad to be here.
Great to have you all on. And as we get started, I'm going to ask if we can start by, if each of you will take a moment to just to kind of further introduce yourself to our listeners to help them better know who you are. And then we want to talk specifically about the mission behind this new broadcast, Hannah's Heart. We'll start with Ann and then Kendra, please.
All righty. Well, I'm Ann Cockrell. I'm married to my best friend, Will. Mm-hmm. We started dating in high school and got married right after college and just have been best friends ever since. And so, anyway, we have been married for a little over 6 years now, so still kind of newbies at the whole marriage thing. But anyway, we became foster parents in 2019 and started desiring biological children a few years before that, and struggled with that, and we have a few babies in heaven now, and so anyway, but that's where the calling I feel like the Lord put on my heart for Hannah's heart came from was us desiring biological children. And so anyway, I started working at AFA right at 2 years ago, and I just feel like he's let AFA really pull it out of me to say something and kind of move forward with the calling that I feel like he placed on my heart because of a hard thing, but he's definitely used it for his glory. So
amen. Amen. And what division of the ministry are you with?
I'm in donor support.
Donor support.
So I get to talk to all kinds of people all day long.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Anne. And Kendra?
Yes. I work with American Family Studios as a producer, and I like the way Anne said it. I'm married to my best friend as well. His name is Eric, and he is the best. And just briefly, our story, we have been married for 3 years, and we've been open to having children from the beginning and praying and asking the Lord to bless us. My my husband does have a spinal cord injury, and he's a wheelchair user. So we quickly learned that due to his injury, there were going to be some obstacles for us to overcome. And yeah, it's been a long journey, but lots of trusting God. We, like Anne and Will's story, have walked through some fertility treatments and some surgeries, and we recently had a miscarriage as well. And of course, it's heartbreaking to walk through that. And I've been a believer and lover of Jesus for over 30 years, and it was hard. It was very hard. And I thought, you know, I know that God is good. I know why bad things happen, you know, and it's the result of the fall. And I know all of that. And if I'm struggling, then other believers must be too. And so the only way that we have gotten through this has been with Jesus and clinging to him. In fact, when we got the news of our miscarriage, I went and sat down at our piano and I just played. And I worshiped God, and I remember thinking in that moment, I can't even be some couples deal with anger towards God in those moments, but I was like, I don't even have the option to be angry at God. I just need him so much. So anyways, it's been a burden on my heart to help other couples to be able to cling to Christ through this journey and to pray through creative ways that God might answer your heart's cry to become a mama.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you all for just kind of introducing yourself and then sharing about your heart as you move forward into this project. As we get started, I'm going to ask if each of you would just pray whatever's on your heart for our listeners as they listen to what God may want to share with them through the broadcast. Would each of you pray?
Yeah, sure, for sure. Do you want to start?
Sure. Well, Father God, I just lift up the women and men that might be listening to this program, that their hearts are just broken. Maybe just even hearing this topic, they're debating turning the radio off because it's too close to home and it hurts too much. And I thank you, God, that your word says that you are close to the brokenhearted. And I thank you, Lord, that you are our joy in times of suffering. And even as Paul and Silas, when they were in prison and had been beaten, they were able to praise you in the middle of the storm. I pray for these couples. If anyone doesn't know you, Jesus, that they would accept you as their Savior, as their Lord of their life, and that they would be able to find true joy, true freedom, true hope in you. And for those that do know you, but maybe this struggle of infertility or miscarriage has clouded their ability to know who you are, I just pray that the clouds would part for them, that they would see a clear vision of who you are, that they would know that you are with them. And I pray that you would give them the strength to even have those conversations with you in those moments when, God, there's no question that you're afraid. As long as we come to you as our Lord and Savior, that you're not afraid to help us deal with our anger, to help us deal with our feelings of abandonment or alone, that we're alone. And you love us even when we have wrong responses. And I pray for the couples listening right now that that they would, after listening to this broadcast, be so reminded of your love for them, what you did on the cross, and that their hope would be restored, not just in the outcome of how you're going to answer, but hope in your character, that you are a good God who desires to abundantly bless them and for them to live an abundant life in Christ. Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, I come to you right now, really just humbled to be here and humbled to be behind the mic right now, God. But I'm just thinking about the women and the men that could be listening to this podcast or this show right now, that their hearts are breaking, and my heart is just breaking with them, Lord. And so I pray that you will just love them and that you will provide these couples with your peace that surpasses all understanding, God. I don't know how you do it, but you always come through, God. And you're so good, Father. Even in these hard times, you're here with us, and you love us more than what we could ever understand. And so I pray for these families that are going through infertility, miscarriage, child loss, stillbirths, God. This hurt is, to me, a hurt like really no other, in that you don't really understand unless you've walked through it. And so I pray that you're just there, and that you show these husbands and wives how to, one, cling to you first, and then how to cling to each other next, because infertility and child loss can, Satan can just use that to separate couples and to provide hardship for them, God, because it's something that we handle so differently as men and women and just as individuals. And so I pray that for the couples maybe even struggling to find words to speak to each other during this time, I pray over them, and I pray that you give them the words to say, God, and that you bring their relationship back to you and back to each other, God, and just let them feel loved through this program, God. May you get all the glory and honor and praise today. In your name I pray.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you for, again, every person listening today, and thank you for the unique journey every listener has been on. Father, some that are listening are single men or single women. Some that are listening are married men or women who desire to have children, as the topic will be addressed today. Then there are those that have children, many children, and their grandparents, and many in many different places. Lord, thank you for how that your Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray for every circumstance, every situation, every matter. And Father, thank you for the truth that what's important in every circumstance is, what is your will? Mm-hmm. What do you desire? What is it that you're wanting to come to pass? Help us to grow to the point where, Lord, we're living not so much to fulfill our dreams, but to fulfill your dreams. Mm-hmm. Not so much to do what we want, but to do what you want. Help us to know, Lord, that your will is what will bless the world. Your will is what will set us free. Your will is what saves us and makes us brand new. Thank you for your will and your word. And, Lord, do a mighty work in the heart of every single listener today. And help us, Lord, to grow in our love for you and our love for one another and our desire, yes, to fulfill all the call of God upon our lives. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. We have in studio with us Ann Cockrell and Kendra White, who will be the hosts of a new broadcast called Hannah's Heart. Now, would you all share with our listeners, if they're wanting to get a chance to tune in, again, the time and how they can tune into Hannah's Heart?
All right. So we're going to be premiering Saturday at 5 p.m. Central. This coming Saturday, our first show. And you can also find us on the podcast page on American Family Radio. We will also be posting on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, Hannah's Heart, and Facebook and Instagram. So lots
of ways. A little bit everywhere.
Yes, if you search for Hannah's Heart anywhere connected to American Family Association or American Family Radio, you should find us.
All right, we'll be talking more about Hannah's Heart on the other side of the break. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession.
Too late now, too far gone, and too ashamed to think. think that you'd still know my name. But love refused to let my story end that way.
Casting crowns, love moved first. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We have as our in-studio guests today, Ann Cockrell and Kendra White. They're the hosts of a brand new broadcast that's about to air here on American Family Radio, Hannah's Heart, on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. And as we begin this segment, Ann and Kendra, as I mentioned, we're going to start off by reading the powerful story in 1 Samuel. The beautiful story, a true story of Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord, and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word." Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Verses 1 through 28, all of 1 Samuel chapter 1. So at this time, I'm just going to turn it over to Ann and Kendra to talk more about the story and the mission of Hannah's heart.
Okay? All righty. Well, yeah, I feel like just even reading that chapter 1, it just shows we start out in like sorrow for Hannah. And then, yeah, see, at the end of the chapter that the Lord had answered her prayers and that she kept that promise that she had made to God, like, "God, if you give me this, I promise I'll give him back." And so I really feel like the Lord really laid on my heart probably 3 years ago now to start studying the women in Scripture who struggled with infertility, because I kept trying to find like devotionals out there, and like there's like a one-day devotional and a year-long devotion, you know, about infertility, and I was really desiring something more than that, like deep in-depth Scripture on it. And so anyway, I started going through the Bible about and learning more about these women, and Hannah just really stood out to me, because that's what I wanted to be like, and I felt like I could understand. You know, Eli sat there and called her drunk, and she's like, I'm not drunk, you know, I'm just praying, I'm so hurt right now.
Her passion came
through. Right, yeah. And I feel like I had felt that way, but no one else, I don't feel like anyone at the time like could say like, "I get what you're what you're feeling." I'm sure there were, but no one in my circle at the time I felt like knew that kind of pain. And so anyway, yeah. And then we get to the end of Hannah and seeing how she kept her commitment to Christ. And then yeah, keep reading in chapter 2 where we get to Hannah's prayer, and it's one of the first psalms out there. Was what she ended up praying to God after, and that's one of our key verses is 1 Samuel 2:2. It says, "There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God." And when you're going through infertility, anything hard in life, we're just experiencing infertility, and that's what Hannah was experiencing. You really need that rock, that solid foundation, you know, to stand on and to cling to, even on those hard days where you get awful news from the doctor, or you get another negative test, or realize, you know, that you're experiencing another miscarriage. And so anyway, that was something that really stood out to Kendra and I. Was like, no, that's what we want to proclaim. There's no rock like our God.
And I'll be honest, when Anne first brought the idea of the name of Hannah's heart to me, it took me a second because, like her, I started off by looking at a lot of the women that have struggled with, they use the term barren, you know, that was a barren woman in the Bible. And I've had some people well-intentioned say, "Oh, don't worry, it's going to happen for you. It happened for Elizabeth. She was old. It happened to Sarah. It happened to..." And they have used women of the Bible as a, "It can happen, you know." And
they sound like Elkanah.
Yes. So my thing was, you know, we're not guaranteed anything in life. And sometimes God places this desire in our hearts. And I think if you're listening to this broadcast and you have the desire to nurture and mother someone, I really believe that is a desire that God places in your heart. And there is nothing wrong with that. But the ways that God sometimes fulfills that in different people's lives is different. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's fostering. Sometimes it's adoption. Sometimes it's somebody across the street that God meant for you to nurture. And if God put that in you, first of all, be relieved. It is going, that itch is going to be scratched because God put that hunger inside of you. So I was a little hesitant, but when I read the story of Hannah and got the verse that Anne just read about that God was her rock, what it helped me to realize is that before she got her answer, she was at the temple praying and interceding her, and so much so that everybody thought Eli thought she was drunk, right? So what I love about her story is that she took her pain to God. She didn't try to hide it from him.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes as believers, you know, my go-to is, I'm going to process this on my own. I don't want to pray about it. I don't want to talk about it. God, this is something I desire so much. And maybe sometimes we are angry at God. Like, why aren't you letting my body function the way it's supposed to? Why are we struggling with this?
Right, you literally command us to multiply.
Yes,
you know?
I'm just trying to do what your word says. So Hannah took that pain, and we don't see her harboring ill feelings towards God. And so whatever, I just wanted to say to whoever's listening, whatever God's answer is to that desire of your heart, just know that he is your rock and you can trust him.
Yeah.
Mm, okay. Well, thank you again just for you all sharing your heart. And, you know, I think there's a sense in which this topic is one that, on the one hand, men may think, well, this doesn't have much to do with me and my situation. But, of course, the reality is men and husbands and wives together may experience infertility for a period of time. But even beyond that, all of us many times will sometimes have what appear to be unfulfilled dreams in our lives, things we long to do. We feel like, well, Lord, my family has been through this or my friends are this. I want it too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But a big issue is for us to really learn to long to fulfill God's dreams, whatever that might be. And, you know, again, obviously, as we're talking about the topic of Hannah's heart, we're talking about a young wife that longed to be a mother, and she specifically wanted a little boy in her case, and that was just her desire. Well, you know, one of the beautiful things, one of many beautiful messages in this wonderful story about Hannah is that, yes, it's about a mom that wanted to be a mother, but it's also an important lesson about how God births his dreams into the world. Mm-hmm. He will place desires in the hearts of his children. And as we learn to bring it to God in prayer, many times his dreams are birthed through the prayer lives of believers. And so the tragedy is when believers are prayerless, there are many of God's dreams that may end up being stillborn. Mm. They never come to pass because we just don't pray for or as much as we should. And so this is certainly about, in part, about having children, but even bigger than that, it's about birthing God's dreams in the world through our prayer lives as we seek God in his word and in prayer. And so it makes it a powerful, powerful message, really, for every believer.
And when you look at the fruit of all of those women that we talked about, you look at Sarah, you look at Elizabeth, and you look at Hannah, who were their children? Well, John the Baptist.
Really important people.
And Samuel. You know, and you go, I think God knew that he needed those mamas to be praying extra for those babies because of what they needed to do for the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. You know, just so many issues there. And, you know, something I would want to put in a word of encouragement to every believer. It's so important that we're students of Scripture who are diligent about learning to read and meditate on Scripture. And I want to emphasize this. Meditation is much more important than any of us grasp because it's a way whereby God helps us to hear better and clearly and much more fully what he's saying. You know, you can read a passage like this story once and get some good things out of it. But if you read it a second time, you can hear more of what God is saying. Mm-hmm. Or a third time and a fourth time. And understand there's a battle. Because your mind will say, I've read it. I don't want to read it anymore.
Yeah, that's so true.
But your heart says, keep going.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because there's always more treasure to be found there. And it's treasure and yet insight that God's trying to teach us about his heart. One of the wonderful things about God's Word is God's Word really is an autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
He inspires the whole book, but it's about him, and the whole Bible is the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a wonderful story about infertility, but there's so much more in Hannah's story that goes far beyond that issue.
Well, and the issue of God redirecting our dreams is an important topic for all believers, as you mentioned. So there's a scripture that says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, then he will give you the desires of your heart. And many Christians assume that that means God is going to give me what I want, you know. But when we really study that scripture, what it means is when you delight in the Lord, he begins to reorder the desires of your heart to line up with what his desires are. And for some women listening to this right now that desperately want to be a mama, that might scare you because I know I've dealt with that because I so desperately want a biological child that you're like, oh, is God gonna change this to be adoption? Because, you know, I'm open to adoption, but I do want to experience that biological baby. But let me just tell you, if you're listening, God is so good. He has the ability, if you truly delight in him and who he is and his character, he has the ability to surprise you with what he can happen in your heart.
That's
and
so
it won't
true.
Be that you have to fake it or limp along. It'll be this overabundant joy.
With God speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guests today are Ann Cockrell and Kendra White, the hosts of the brand new American Family Radio broadcast, Hannah's Heart. Ann and Kendra, share with our listeners one more time if someone wants to be sure and tune in, or if they want to get in touch with you all, how can they do that?
So to email us, we would love for people to email us prayer requests and even topics that they would want us to cover on the broadcast. They can email us at hannahsheart@afa.net, and that's Hannah, H-A-N-N-A-H, hannahsheart@afa.net. And then find us on many platforms on Facebook and Instagram by searching that same thing, and on YouTube. And then we'll be airing on iTunes, the podcast will, and then AFA.net and Spotify.
Yeah, the podcast page on AFA.
Yes.
AFR.
Okay. All righty. And again, it will air live again that time again?
Saturdays at 5 p.m. Central.
Yeah. Okay, then. And sometimes the live is important because some people may think, I don't understand all that Chinese stuff, you know, otherwise,
yeah,
but I can turn my radio on. So,
yes.
All right. Well, again, as you continue to look at the topic and the mission behind Hannah's Heart, you know, something that I think of, and I'm going to ask if you'll both pray about, but also share further about too, You know, there are unique messages in Scripture that God sends through the mothers of the Bible in a number of places. Mm-hmm. Something we touched on is, you know, through Mary, a number of times Scripture says about Mary, and Mary kept these things and pondered them mm-hmm. in her heart. And in all of Scripture, she's the only person that I see that specific phrase mentioned more than once. But it's talking about meditation. She would really take time to think about things she'd seen God do in and around her life in relation to Christ, you know. But again, it's not just for Mary. It's an important message for all of us, too. And also the fact that in Scripture, there were a number of women, as you all alluded to, that longed to be mothers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I guess I could picture men thinking to themselves, why would anybody want to be a mother? They have to carry babies and
a lot of work, a lot of diapers.
And a lot of men think, man, I wouldn't want to have to go through that for 9 months, you know, and the sacrifices that mothers have to make. Yeah. So the whole idea, someone could ask, why would someone want to be a mother? Well, of course, only women and mothers could understand it. So if you all would kind of share further.
Well, pondering, I think one thing that's helpful in dealing with infertility is to ponder about God's goodness and how he's been good and how he's been faithful to you in the past. That's something that has helped me a lot to go to realize that this struggle, not everybody relates, but everybody has something that they're going through. But God is consistent and he is faithful. And to literally go back through your life and list out the blessings that God has given you and the times in your life that he has been there for you. Yeah. That's been really helpful for me. But as far as God birthing motherhood in our hearts, I think that, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. You mentioned Mary. The Savior of the world came through a woman, mm-hmm. right? And so it's through women that just life happens in general. And that's such a beautiful part of God's plan. Mm-hmm. But if I may, I want to help those couples that are trying to consider fostering and adoption to understand that even if it doesn't happen through your biological body, that is still beautiful and is still something that's birthed in the heart of God, because the idea of adoption is Bible-based, right? Mm-hmm. We are all adopted into God's family.
That's right.
There's the Jewish mm-hmm. people, and then we, the Gentiles, are grafted into the family of God. And so what does that mean for us? It means that we have full access to the privileges of being a child of God. It's not there's his Jewish children, and then there's those pesky other Gentiles. We have the full benefits of salvation and all the blessings of God. And so I think whatever your story is, the gospel will be preached in how God fulfills that calling.
Right, for sure. What you were talking about, he sent a child. There's a song that I really clung to, still love it. It's Seasons by Hillsong, and one of the verses say, you could have saved us in a second, instead you sent a child. And whenever I would listen to that song, because it illustrates infertility through there and waiting, talks about seasons and how long those seasons can last. And so anyway, but you saying that just reminded me of that song. And the Lord loves these children. You know, Jesus said, no, let the children come. And children are a blessing from the Lord. And so, yeah, my heart, I mentioned this on a show earlier today. My mom will tell me stories even when I was 4 years old. That's when my baby sister was born. And she was like, Anne, you literally became a mama then. Like, you mothered your baby sister, you know. And I feel like the Lord had just laid it on my heart at such an early age to love babies and to love children. And that desire just grew as I got older and fell in love and, you know, wanted to provide my husband with a baby, you know. And so, but yeah, like Kendra was saying, just a snippet of our little story through foster care, I always worried that I wouldn't love someone else's baby like my own. And I always thought, God, I just need a biological baby first. But there's a baby in my home right now, and he doesn't look a thing like me. He acts like us now, though. But he's 15 months old now, and I could cry right now thinking about him because he changed my heart. The Lord used that baby to change my heart and to draw me closer to him and getting to experience motherhood in that way. Even though it's a sad situation, he's not with his biological mother right now. The getting to love that baby the way that I feel like the Lord wants us to love children has really just grown my relationship with the Lord, grown my relationship with my husband, and really let me experience what a mother's love feels like when I didn't know that that was possible. So anyway, it's crazy what children can do. You know, some days you're like, you bring out the worst in me. And then there's some days, you know, that, you know, I just...
And what a need that's met in such a beautiful, unique way that only God tells those kinds of stories.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the things that I think is so cool about this issue, one in four, well, this fact is sad. One in four women have had an abortion. Mm-hmm. And one in four pregnancies end in miscarriage. And just hearing those two statistics together makes it so obvious to me that if you have an unplanned pregnancy and you are thinking, I don't know who's going to take care of this baby, I guarantee you there is a mama somewhere someone who would desperately love to be a mama, maybe has had a pregnancy loss themselves, and God is able to provide
that baby,
right? And the family of Christ, it doesn't have to be your blood, you know, for you to love it, as Anne just said. And there's so many beautiful stories. When you give God the pen and say, let me let you write the story, he is an excellent writer. Let me tell you, there'll be some twists in there you didn't see coming, but it's going to be a beautiful story.
Yeah. Brother Joseph, do you mind if I share some scripture?
Yes, please do.
This scripture, I would go back and back to. I actually have it dated October 11, 2019. It's Psalm 37, and Psalm 37, 1, I'm going to read through 7. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like the green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. This is what Kendra brought up a while ago. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. After that, though, it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make you your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And I have written beside that a baby, and that October 11th, 2019. He just calls us to wait, to be still. And you're talking about meditation. And I feel like, meditation was almost like a weird concept to me because it made me almost feel awkward, even though I'd be in a room by myself. But, like, well, how do you meditate, you know? But actually, my father-in-law a few years ago really encouraged me to start doing that. And I did. And, all I did was just sit on this scripture. And I feel like the Lord was like, and I'm just asking you to wait. That's all I'm asking you to do. There's much harder things to do than to wait, you know. And so then I have at the top of this page written, it's a quote by Charles Spurgeon. It says, time is nothing to him, so let it be nothing to thee. And I was like, when I heard that, I just remember thinking, like, time is nothing to you, God. You know, time, you know, not getting TMI
here.
He's outside
of time, yeah.
Right. Women, you know, work on a monthly cycle, you know, and so, like, every month you feel like you're getting more and more behind. Like, it's another Christmas. It's another Thanksgiving. It's another New Year. And that baby, God, that baby's not here yet. I'm running out of time. That's what you feel like as a woman, or that's at least for
absolutely.
Me. But God doesn't work on that kind of time clock like we do. So anyway. Right.
And that scripture just blew my mind because you connected. I didn't realize that the passage that talks about delighting the Lord is followed up by the passage that talks about waiting on the Lord. I got quiet because you stepping on my toes here. I'm like,
but I want it now.
It's so good.
Well, people, we were, you know, people say they mean well by mm-hmm. saying these things when you're struggling with infertility, like, mm-hmm. you just need to relax. Yeah. Y'all need to go on vacation,
yeah.
you know? And people, Christians, would quote that verse yeah. to me all the time, and they're like, just mm-hmm. the Lord will give you those desires. Just pray about yeah. it. And I was like, I am praying about it.
Yes.
Well, you know, our time is about completely gone here, though. So, but we're going to give you a chance in just a few moments to share once again. If people want to tune in, how they'll be able to do that. But in these last few moments of the broadcast, as usual, if you're listening today and you've never made that all-important decision of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, the single most important decision in all of life is the decision to ask Christ into your heart. If you'd like to make that very important step, would you simply pray this prayer with me as we end our broadcast? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so, so much. You came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, please get in touch with us. We'd like to share some literature that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. My email, jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Ann and Kendra, one more time. If someone wants to tune into the broadcast or get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yes, the show is called Hannah's Heart. It's on American Family Radio at 5 o'clock Central. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and the podcast page on AFR. The show, again, is called Hannah's Heart.
All right. Ann and Kendra, thanks for coming and sharing about the program Hannah's Heart and sharing your heart behind the mission of the broadcast as well. Thanks for being with us today.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.